Praise the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I got to tell you, I can't spend one moment with the Lord that my love does not increase for Him. I can't meditate on Him without my love and my resolve being more solid than ever. In this day and age, the only place you can look is to the Lord. Amen? There's so much that the enemy has infiltrated into and has deceived even God's people with lethargy. There you go. Thank you. Complacency. That's the word I was looking for. Because they don't walk in the power of the Word, they don't understand the power of the Word, because they don't walk with Him the way they should walk with Him. Do you know how blessed you all are here? How blessed all we are here? Because we walk with Him, we know what He's about, we know the power of God, we've been taught correctly, and we've received that Word. Amen? Hallelujah. And because we've received that Word, we walk in truth. That's pretty powerful. We walk in truth. I asked Patrick to print this out for me as I was walking back after we did our practice this morning. I was reminded of Matthew 15:8. Let's try that again. Matthew 15:8. Does these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me? They have a form of godliness, but deny the power, deny the reality. I don't question people's salvation, but I do observe their walk. And their talk, a lot of times, is based strictly on what they read. There's no faith, there's no power in it. It's just strictly words on a page. And I'm reminded of the song, if you think you can make it by doing good works, you're just kidding yourself. You think you can make it by just going to church, you're just kidding yourself. Mark 7:6 says the same thing. It says, He answered them and said, well did Isaiah say of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I want to be close to Him. You know, years ago they came out with a saying that says, and we laugh if you think it's kind of funny, but there's some absolute truth in that, and that is the fact that I want to be so close to Him that when He gets ready to come back, He's going to have to tell me to get back on my own horse. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm reminded again of the old song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The more I'm convinced, the more you and I should be convinced that He's in control, He's on the throne, He's got our best interests at heart, He loves us, and there's not one thing that He's withholding from us. Do you know there's not one thing He's withholding from us? Not one thing. Praise the Lord. So if that doesn't excite you this morning, we'll pray for you and raise you from the dead. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's heaviness or the heat or what, but
amen. No,
it's
that's
a quiet group.
Huh? No, it's the anointing.
Okay.
It's the anointing.
Praise the Lord.
And what was that you just said in one ear and out the other?
Which one? Which part?
I know. We'll have to rewind you about 30 seconds. But you know, the Word says from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, that which has been, what will be, that which is done, is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. I made mention of this Wednesday night. A while back, my boss handed out this book, and he was wanting everybody to read it. And it's about replacing negative thought and negative speech with positive thought and positive speech. It's very basically what it's about. He asked me yesterday if I had read the book yet, and the answer to that is yes. I have read the book. Because, see, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything in this book that this gentleman asked us to read is just the Word of God repackaged and trademarked and with somebody else's name on it. But it's still Bible principles. It's still everything that God teaches us in His holy Word. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. That sometimes we think, well, I don't know if I can go to God with this. Well, God already knows about it. We haven't invented anything new. The mind of man's not going to come up with anything new that God hasn't thought about.
Amen.
We aren't going to endure anything that He didn't already die for. There's nothing new under the sun. And that's something that we should be very praiseful of. Because we serve an all-knowing God. We serve an all-loving God. And this little incident with this book just once again points back to His Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word. And His Word says that if you don't praise me, the rocks will.
That's right.
You know, man, my point is, man cannot help but praising and glorifying God even when he's not trying to. Some guy sits down to write this book. Oh, I've got this new principle. It's not new because there's nothing new under the sun. He just gave it a new name. Well, you know, so great. See this kind of thought and everything coming into the organization? That's great. But it's not new.
Amen. The only thing that's new to us is the revelation. The word's not new, but it's new revelation to us. And thank God, no matter how much we read it, how much we study it, there's always, always, let me emphasize that, always new revelation that we can glean from it. Amen? If you've heard it 5 million times or you've heard it once, there's always new revelation. Praise the Lord.
But when we get a hold of it, look out.
Amen. That's right.
Glory.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, once again, we've come into this house, Lord, with expectation, with adoration. We proclaim right now, we love you, Lord. We serve you with joy and with hilarity, Lord, and with thankfulness and thanksgiving, Lord, because you've done everything for us, Lord, that could possibly be done. Now, Lord, give us the understanding, and in that understanding, or the wisdom, and then in the wisdom, the understanding to receive it, to walk in it, and to believe it, Lord. Increase our faith today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the music. Lord, we come here to lift up and magnify and bless you. And we want to do that this morning. Once again, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you've been invited. Come, be our guest. Take control. We yield to you because you bring our Father's will into this house. Now, Lord, we just once again give this day to you. And once again, we thank you. You're going to exhort, comfort, build up, edify in love your people, Lord, through everything that's done. But before that, Lord, we're going to worship and praise you with our hands and our hearts lifted high to you, Lord. We're going to lose focus of everything else and zero in on you, Lord. May we be a sweet smell and a sweet sound to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in advance. Amen. Father, teach us afresh and anew. Give us a new understanding of the fact that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're my provider, Lord. You're the people's provider, Lord. You have made provision for everything in this life. You've made it clear to us that you have given everything to us. You have, not you will, or maybe someday, but you have given everything to us that pertains to this life and to godliness, Lord, so that we can be to you what we were called and anointed to be. To be what Jesus gave his life for us to be, full of the Holy Ghost and power, full of wisdom and understanding, full of insight into you, Lord, filled with the Spirit, Lord, operating in the gifts, Lord, that help us, Lord, to be those who rule and reign in this earth for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Give us that new understanding. Once again, Lord, thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Peace that passes all understanding. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith this morning, Lord. We thank you for this time, Lord. Now I surrender, Lord. I give myself to you. Use me as you will, Lord. Let nothing come from my lips but you and your truth, Lord. Let your kingdom be built by this morning, Lord. And to you, I give all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for the outcome. And we say now, Lord, it's finished. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew the 13th chapter. Matthew the 13th chapter. You know, I'll remind you again, by the way, Patrick, make the right choices is the message title this morning. You know, we've talked about a couple times, but I pray this is from a different angle, I think it is, about people in the church today who are Christians. I don't doubt that for a minute. I don't doubt that they love the Lord. But they are so mixed up and confused and so conflicted by the world's standards, by their hurts, by their anxieties, by their misgivings, by things that they see and things that have been spoken to them and over them that they have received into their heart. And the reason they're conflicted is because it has not been the things of God. And unfortunately, sometimes it's because people of God have spoken things to them and over them that are absolutely false because they don't have an understanding and the knowledge of God. They have a form of godliness, but don't know His power. There are some who have been taught absolute false doctrine that you can do whatever you want to do and God's going to forgive you. But I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Yes. But I'm telling you here today, you and I know you better not test that. We make mistakes. God does not hold us accountable for our mistakes. He holds us accountable for what we know. And one of the biggest things that we do as Christians is run and do things the way we think they should be done or what's comfortable for us, or in a panic, what seems to be the right thing and is totally wrong. And then we stand back and we wonder, God, why am I in the mess that I'm in? Why am I going the direction I'm going? Why aren't things happening? Why don't I see You manifesting Yourself in my life? And it's because they're not walking in the things of God. They can quote script, chapter and verse, quote Scripture. They've got an idea about God. They know what the Word says. But the truth and the life, that living Word, is not in them. It's only words on a page. They can even say the right things at the right moment. But how many know it's not the letter alone? I mean, the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? The yoke of bondage in your life. What is that anointing? It's the Holy Ghost and power that's been placed in your life, the same way it was placed on Jesus when He came out of the river that day. Amen? And so, let's just use finances for a moment. This is only one of many. Finances, all of a sudden something happens. You made a mistake, you did something wrong, and the first thing you do, because you're ashamed, maybe, or because you don't really have the fullness of an understanding of the Word and what God says in His Word about what He'll come to your rescue, how He'll come and, you know, change the things that were meant for your harm to good. But instead of running to Him, we run to what we know. I'm going to go run to the bank and take a loan. Now, I'm not saying these things are sin, but I can tell you they're holding back the people of God in the church. They're not operating in the fullness and power. And they're things that have caused, that have been brought by the enemy to cause deception, which will keep you from being all God wants you to be, and will keep you at a place where you will never, ever see the power of God manifest through your life the way God wants it manifest. He told us that not only would we see the things that He did, but we'd do even greater things in His name in these last days. Amen? Even more. And that's what He wants for us. That's what we should desire. But we've got our head knowledge. And we can't seem to get free of that. Many Christians can't seem to get free of it. I say we because we're part of the church. We're blessed here to know the truth and to be able to walk in the truth. And we have the answer for those who are not walking in the truth. I know one individual. I know they love God. I know they believe in healing. But I know for a fact they do not ever run to God in a situation where the enemy attacks them physically. They'll sit for weeks and be miserable before they ever lift a voice to God. Or they'll run directly out the door, get some placebo or some medicine. I'm not preaching about doctors today. Hear the whole message, please. I'm talking about not listening to the voice of God, not trusting God, and not walking the way He wants us to walk in the power and authority that He's given us. This is just one example. And they never once consider that God wants them, because they don't understand what Jesus did at the cross. They don't understand the terrible beating that He took prior to going to that cross. They don't understand. They have no concept in their mind because they have not been taught correctly. I've been in a church once in this city, or twice maybe. It makes my skin crawl. They get to the place where they're talking about worshiping God and they're down on their faces going, "Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus." Hello? What is that? What is that? That doesn't sound like somebody coming boldly to the throne of grace. It sounds like they're still crying out for mercy, which is not wrong. We need to be crying out for mercy. But the Bible says surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Hello? Am I right or wrong? Do you believe that? Follow you. Grace is God's unmerited favor. God cries out. He longs for these people to come to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. To walk in that living Word. That living Word that pierces the dividing asunder of a soul and the spirit and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But because of them leaning on their own understanding, them having... You know, I watched two people argue with a parking meter man one day. Well, I'm college educated, and that no standing doesn't mean... That means, I can't stand here. Hello? But I'm college educated, and I'm not preaching against college education. But I'm saying the Bible says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't lean to your own understanding. You might be wrong. Oh, not possible. I've got this shingle that says I'm smart. You may have all the book learning in the world, but you ain't got a lick of common sense. Sorry, folks. I'm not sorry. I love the Lord, and I know what He's done for us, and I know what He's done for me. And it's not just for me, it's for all of us. It's for everyone who will receive and accept it and walk in it. Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word in our life. Choke the word. We can hear the word all day long, but if we don't walk in it, if we don't take it to heart, if we don't meditate on it, if it doesn't get down in our spirits, then it's just head knowledge, and it's worthless. It's not going to do you a bit of good. You might as well go read the dictionary. It'll do you more good than that. Verse 18, Matthew 13, verse 18, starting in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. He who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears and hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. They receive the word, they hear the word, but because they don't have the relationship with the word and with the one who is the living word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Father, the triune Godhead, they walk in weakness, in destruction, and calamity every day of their life. That's you and me too. If we don't walk what the Bible calls, big fancy word, circumspectly, which means be righteous. Walk right. Walk in the knowledge you have. God's got instructions about that, which we'll look at here in a few moments. Matthew 15:8 and Mark 7:6 are pretty good examples. I read them to you when we started this morning. These people draw to me, near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's the heart? It's that deceitful thing that wants its own way, wants to think it's got all the answers, wants to think it's got the world by the tail. Oh, you got the world by the tail, all right. Ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. Can I get just a little dramatic this morning? Will you allow me that grace, please? Mark 7:6 says, he answered them and said, well did Isaiah say of you, you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now that sounds like judgment, but that's an observation, because nothing will separate us from the love of God. And Jesus didn't come to judge. Let's get that down right now. I don't care what this says, it can't conflict with the rest of the Word of God. And if he says, I didn't come to judge or to condemn, then that means there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you make choices whether you're going to walk in the grace and mercy and the knowledge of God, or you're going to walk in your own understanding and suffer the calamities and the things that you can't work out because you're not God. And yet God said, this is what I have in mind for you. He came to make the crooked places straight, bring the high places low, and the low places high. Amen? What does that mean? That means narrow is the way, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But wide is the way that leads to destruction, and wide is the gate, and many enter therein. Why? Because they have a knowledge of God, but they deny the power that God gives. They deny the power that came and what was given to us through the promises of God and through Jesus fulfilling the calling that He had on His life to die for our sins according to the Father's will. Verse 21. Yet He has no root in Himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word's sake, immediately He stumbles. I want to remind you before I say anything else to preface this whole message this morning. The Bible says nothing under the sun is evil. It's the motivation and the one who you listen to and how you walk it out that becomes evil or is good. Does that make sense? Do I need to explain that a different way? Y'all still with me? So when I say that, you know, if somebody goes up and has fun someplace like, you know, Central City or something like that, that's not evil. That's not sin. That's not evil. Unless God's told you to do something else. But that's between you and Him. That's none of my business. But if God gives you all the promises He's done about prospering you, that you're healed, and you do anything else but walk in that, or get the idea, well, I got to run because this guy knows, he understands. Or, hey, I only got this little bit of money, so I'm going to go win back more money. And then you end up in worse hurt than you were because you trusted yourself, you trusted your knowledge, you trusted in things that are of this world, that are fleeting and passing away, and then you end up with nothing. And then the grief and pain is so hard that you can't hardly stand under it. Oh my God, why me? Why me? Why me? Or you hear a cry of despair. Well, that's one more thing I'll never have. Because you don't stop to consider your ways. Consider where you're at with the Lord. And that's between you and God too. But I remind you that not only out of the abundance of your heart does your mouth speak, but your actions declare what's in your heart too. Scripture says you'll know them, number one, by their love, but you'll also know them by the fruit that's in their life. I didn't say how fruity they were. I said how by the fruit that's in their life. Amen? Tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, the thorns is all the calamities, all the afflictions, all the attacks of the enemy in your life. Or maybe your own stinking thinking. In that scripture that says, trust in the Lord, it also says, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. But if you don't talk to Him, you don't ask Him, or you don't acknowledge Him, how's He going to direct your path? You're going to go and do it your way. You're going to go and do it your way. Same kind of silliness that this, you know, some churches teach, you know, because of their false holiness or false piety, which the Bible talks about very clearly with the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, they thought they'd be heard for their much speaking, and they went around talking about religious law, not God's law. Tried to condemn Jesus because they hated Him, because He stepped on their toes. And where did He get them? The weight of His crucifixion on their life forever. And you know what I'm talking about. But you see, they played right into God's hands. All things work together for good. They made a mistake. Judas made a mistake. The unfortunate thing is it cost them their lives, spiritually and physically. Amen? It's unfortunate. That's not what God wanted. Not what God wanted at all. So it's the things, it's these little attacks, these little things that come to bombard your mind, or that cause you to think, you know, all of a sudden something happened that's larger than life. And I'm reminded where the Scripture says, that where will I go? That you're not there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I ascend to the heavens, you're there. No matter whether it's east, northeast, south, or west, you're there. You're there. Nothing separates me from your love. Nothing but me separates me from your presence and from your blessings. Did you hear that? The only thing that separates you from God's blessings and I is you and I. Now, God has grace for those who are ignorant or who don't have the knowledge. But He does tell us that, come back, thought. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, the things that I've already spoken about this morning should be pretty good examples to us that that's absolutely the truth. It's because of the lack of knowledge that they perish. They succumb to the one who's roaming about the earth as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I've read in the Word and I see very clearly that God says, my son made an open show of him. He took his teeth away. Now he all is a big mouth that comes around spouting off and has no power nor authority unless you give it to him in your life and my life. In verse 22 it says, the one who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world, lack of money, feeling poorly, whatever other attack you got, you know, you want to talk about, whatever other thing that you exalt above God. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and the one who allows that becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs. We're going to spend probably a good amount of the time left in Proverbs. Proverbs, starting in chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Again, scripture is well known, but I think we need to take a look at it and really let the Holy Spirit minister to us today. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. Proverbs chapter 4. All right. God's command and His desire for us is to get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, the word, for she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. When you go into the military, this is an example we've probably used a million times, beating this old whore to death. They don't just hand you all the equipment and say, okay, go out and be a soldier. There is training and instruction that comes with that. We're told that we're to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the training and instruction from the Lord. The nurture. God doesn't just hand us this stuff and say, okay, I hope you make it. We all know that. But we have to go in and we have to look at the manuals. We have to follow along with the instructor. We have to go through the motions of doing it manually ourselves so that we begin to learn. You didn't just, when you walked into nursing school and said, okay, I'm here, I want to be a nurse, and they didn't just stick out there, did they? There was a lot of schooling involved. So that's not wrong. Schooling's not wrong. It's whether you rely on the schooling or you rely on God. That's what's wrong. One of the places that I have the utmost respect for in this earth is the hospital in the City of Faith in Oklahoma, Oral Roberts University. Because those doctors and nurses, the first thing they think about is not the physical, it's the spiritual. If it's an emergency, they probably do some physical things because it's required, but they think about the spiritual. They understand that prayer changes things. They understand that a merry heart does good like a medicine. They don't just walk in and say, well, you have cancer, you're going to die. Have a nice life. How many of you have seen the commercials on TV? Bless this poor doctor's darling heart and mixed up mind. But I'm educated. I got no tact. I got no class, but I'm educated. But these people, they realize that everything that happens in the natural is because of something spiritual. And everything in the natural is because of something spiritual. Or did I just say that? Must have been a good point to emphasize. But along with what they do, they pray and they trust God and realize that God's the healer, not them. And that their medicines are not the only answer, or not the answer anyway. They are things to help in God's time for healing. Let's go on to verse 8. Exalt her and she will promote you. Exalt her, what? The word of God. And she will promote you. She will bring honor to you, honor, when you embrace her. And she will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and that's talking about not gender, but mankind. Hear, my people. And receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. Verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will be hindered, or will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Now, in that scripture, I believe what the Lord's saying is not doing evil, but walking in the ways of man's wisdom and man's understanding and not acknowledging Him, which is what He said. Starting back in verse 5, get wisdom and get understanding. Turn with me over to chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Any way that's not of God is evil. Sorry, I didn't write the book. Actually, I'm not sorry, I'm proud to proclaim it. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Now let me tell you something else that I've seen out of some churches. You probably, maybe most of you, or maybe most of you have seen this too, or maybe all of you. And that is people who come out with just enough head knowledge to be dangerous. Not only to their own life, but to the people they try to talk to. One individual I know, they go out and they try to minister to other people. They tell them the truth. They tell them the Word. Thank God the Word says it does not return void. So whether you know it's the truth or not, or whether it's really in your spirit or not, if you're given the Word, that doesn't mean the Spirit has been left out when it goes out and given. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't. It's just God. That's just God. I just accept it. But here they are. They get done talking to a person, and then they say something like, well, you dumb bunny, or use some swear word or something. Now, I don't know, somewhere I read you can't get good water and bitter water out of the same well. Amen? And yet they're ministering. They're ministering truth, but they don't even know the truth. Because truth is not a thing. It's a person. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You come out and make a demand on somebody who doesn't have the knowledge that you have or who's struggling because of the things that have gone on in their life that the enemy's trying to rip them apart already, and you go and minister to them, and then all of a sudden you get hot on them and you say something stupid like that, that's going to do a lot of healing, isn't it? That's going to reinforce the lie the devil's told to them because he wants to kill them and destroy them. He doesn't want them to walk in the power and authority that God's given them. Is that right? At least somebody said amen. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Here's a person, who's an individual who's going out trying to minister to other people, but they don't have the truth or the fullness of the truth operating in them. Once again, they have just enough to be dangerous. Great vast knowledge of the Scripture, the written Word, but there's no rhema in it. There's no anointing. There's no revelation in it. It's strictly head knowledge. If that's not the case, then why would they on the one hand minister to things of God and then not walk in them themselves? Where's the fruit? Go back and read Galatians and Ephesians. I believe it's in Galatians. The things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. Read Romans 8. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that gives illumination. It's the Spirit that gives revelation. He's the Comforter. What does He come? What's His job? His job description is listed in the Word. It says, Jesus came to give life and that more abundantly. The Holy Spirit came to remind us of the truth. To reveal to us truth, to teach us truth, and to reveal that to us, and to bring it to our remembrance. See, honey, you can't preach to somebody else until it's real in you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 18. Emphasis on verse 7. In my looking yesterday, I came across a scripture that I absolutely has become my favorite scripture, and it ties into this so well. Proverbs chapter 15, and we'll look at that here shortly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 18. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. If you think you've got knowledge, but you're not seeing God come through in your knowledge, then it's probably your knowledge, not the knowledge of God. You've heard some things, but you don't have any wisdom, and you don't have any understanding in what you're talking about. How many have gone into a store, wanted to buy something, and you got some young clerk who's just fresh out of the employment pool, And you go in there and they can't tell you one thing about what you want to know. They don't even know the store, let alone tell you what you need to know about the product that you're seeking to buy. Oh, well, I don't know. Let me go ask. See, in order for you and I to be instant seasons, the Word says, we've got to have the knowledge in us first. Amen? How are you going to help somebody if you don't have knowledge? How am I going to do something simple like change a tire or change the oil if I don't have the knowledge? Hello? Ever learning. Ever learning. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Moving right along. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, now I want to stop right there too, because this is another thing. When you stand there and you look at everybody else and you call them a bonehead, a knothead, a clown, a jerk, does that edify anybody or anything? Or does that tear down? Your Bible and my Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. On the one hand, I'm spitting out the Word of God. It is the Word of God. I'm not denying that. But the point is, you don't even understand in your own spirit. You let those things come out of your mouth because you don't have a revelation in your own heart. This is where these people miss it. This is where they miss it. Have a knowledge of God, but never ever entered into that power. Head knowledge isn't going to make it. It's got to be heart knowledge. Are you doing good to the kingdom or are you causing harm? But in that, there's hope. Make the right choices. Don't just elevate yourself by saying, well, man, I know all this Word. You know, and I'm talking. Well, you don't even say that. You just act like you know all the Word by spitting out Scriptures, the written Word, the letter alone. And you don't have one knowledge, one iota of the power and the truth that's in that Word, or it's not living to you. It's not alive to you. If it's not alive to you, then it can't be powerful in you. You say it because it's the right thing. It feels good. But what help is it to the person you're trying to minister to when your life is a wreck too? I'm not passing judgment, folks. Please understand, I'm not passing judgment. My heart is broken because Satan has robbed and stolen and killed people because of this kind of insanity and this kind of knowledge that's not from God. I watched something on TV last night for a few moments. 14-year-old girl. Mom's doing the best she can. Loves her with all of her heart. She's just gotten out of the juvenile detention facility. Turns right around and goes back to the only thing she knows because God is not in the picture. Goes back and starts sniffing stuff again and ends up out of her mind. The police have to come. They have to take her into custody and take her back to juvenile. They get her in the car. They start talking to the mom and trying to reassure the mom. Next thing you know, she's trying to climb through the little window between the back seat and the front seat with cuffs in front of her instead of behind her. They have to take her down hard and put the cuffs back on her. Mom's heart's breaking. You tell me how I'm going to minister to that person if all I'm doing is going around, well, that silly girl, why didn't she, you know, rah, 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 rah. What's that wrong with that mom? Well, I'm really going to help somebody with that attitude, aren't I? I'm really going to help them. Not at all. And inside of me, a righteous indignation and anger for Satan I've never had, or at least I haven't had with its intensity in my whole life. I'm tired of seeing the church of God, the people of God, and this world destroyed by Satan. It's high time we stood up and started walking in the knowledge and the power of God. We started walking with the authority that God's given us and taking dominion again and ruling and reigning in this life and putting it down and exposing it for what He is on every corner. A liar and a thief, a killer. Praise the Lord. He's got not much longer. And He's going to face a judgment that He'll never recover from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. That should have made you stand up and give God praise. Hallelujah. If I seem a little wound up, you're right. Moving right along. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh yeah, I can talk about God all day long, but how are you going to get somebody to believe it if you don't live it? Whew. I don't know, somehow that strikes me as what the Bible calls double-mindedness. Or like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, they had religious knowledge, but the truth they didn't know, even though they were staring Him right in the face. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen to what it says. If you'll do this, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Then God says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled, yours and my barns be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Not just wisdom, it's understanding in that wisdom. It's skill in using the whole armor of God. the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the truth that's around your waist, and the gospel of peace that's on your feet. Gospel of peace that's on your feet. Amen? Karen, if you had never experienced the healing of God in both your own life and the life of your grandchildren or your children, how could you preach that and be convinced and know, have somebody else believe that it's true? You've seen it with your own eyes. You've experienced it. You've seen and tasted the good things of God. That's why you can talk about it and you can preach it. And that's the same for every person in here. Every person in here. It's time for, if you will, the shucking and the jiving to stop and the truth to come out. For us to get bold in the Lord. Know that our strength comes from Him. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. It's His wisdom. It's time we finally decided we're going to let God be true and every man, including me, a liar, unless I'm speaking the truth. The truth. Not just what's written, but the truth by the Spirit of God that's living and alive in me and you. Amen. Well, I'm having fun now. Verse 14. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. God honors those that honor Him. How are you going to convince somebody if you don't really understand or walk in the truth yourself? You can know that it's the truth, know that it's right, but if you're not walking it, how are you going to convince somebody else? You're not even convinced. To me, that's not like throwing somebody a lifeline or a life ring. It's like throwing somebody who's drowning a rock. Blind leaders of the blind. They both fall in the ditch. Amen? Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You know what's amazing to me, too, is the fact that these individuals, again, I'm sorry, I do have one individual in mind. They don't go to this church. They're not part of this fellowship. They're so wise in their own eyes, they think because of what knowledge they have of the Word, without understanding, that they're saved, and they will not one moment take a look at their own selves. They're like that person who looked in a mirror and turned away and forgot what manner of person they were. It's not real to them. There's too much hurt. Can I tell you something? I can tell you right now. You don't have to take my word for it. But that person has a broken heart, doesn't trust God because they think God did it to them. God's allowing this in their life. And that comes from total ignorance of the Word. Ignorance of the Spirit behind the Word. Amen? Amen? That's why it's there. How are you going to give somebody hope when you are hopeless? How are you going to give somebody hope when you're in despair? Your Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. I thought about that this morning. I don't remember if it was when we were praying as men or during the music or whatever, but I thought about that. A merry heart, give me a good dose of medicine this morning, Lord. Give me a good dose of medicine this morning. Amen? What about the song that says, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee every hour. Or you and I so self-sufficient, and all these people so self-sufficient that they just need to know what they know, and because they say, forgive me, Lord, which doesn't really mean forgive me or I repent. It means, I'm sorry I got caught. Until next time. You know, people say when they're leaving and about to leave your presence, they say, well, until next time. That's the same kind of attitude that seems to exude from these people. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And the reason is because the truth is staring them in the face, and in their heart of hearts they know it's the truth, and they can't stand it because it illuminates the areas in their life where they're deficient and lacking, because they refuse to acknowledge that God's smarter and bigger and wiser than they are. Refuse. And the only thing you can do with them is release them to God. And let the Spirit of God, the hound dog of heaven, chase them and bring them back. And pray for them with all your heart. They're not to be condemned. They need to be lifted up in your prayers. Often, they need to be released to God so God can have His way. Amen? You ever encounter a person like this? Don't get angry at them. Just realize where they're at. And so just pray for them. Ephesians 1:18. Thank you, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding are illuminated. They're enlightened to see You. Show them truth, Lord. Which means really show them You. Reveal Yourself to them because they really don't know You, Lord. They may have made a declaration of salvation, but they're not safe. Salvation has to be new every day. How many times do we have to read this? This is what we need to be proclaiming to these people. Again, it goes back to 1 Corinthians 11:27. Many are weak and sickly among you because they don't righteously divide the word of truth. They don't rightfully discern the Lord's body. Whew. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 15. Or excuse me, 1 through 33. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And you won't surrender to the Lord. You know, you want to be free, but you keep walking in this. And then turn around and say, "Well, you dummy, you airhead." Hello? Somewhere I read you don't touch God's anointed. That means by your words or your actions. What does the anointed mean? Those who are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Those who are God's children. And you and I are not the judges of who is and who's not. All we can do is look and see what's coming from them, and we'll know quickly where they stand. Amen? But harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise despise knowledge. I don't want any more knowledge. I got it all. Don't you understand? I know what I'm doing. Oh, honey, I don't think so. You talk the talk, but your walk is far from on the right path. Verse 7, but the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, and the heart of fools does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. We're not righteous in our own selves. We can't wear Christianity or salvation like a badge. Can't do it. I'm reminded that the Bible says if he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord at all. Amen? Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Now that scripture right there shoots down this theory that, man, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. There's no hope for me in God. And that scripture right there shoots that down. I'll let that stand. I want to read that again. Verse 10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love one who corrects him. Okay? They don't want to hear what you say. Why would they hear what you say when they're not even hearing God? Hello? Double-mindedness. Unstable in all their ways. Scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, in sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. These people have a broken heart. It's very evident by what you see and you hear coming out of them and how they live. Despair. I made a comment earlier about, you know, well, that's just one more thing I'll ever have. And they're referring to children. These are the people who stand there and look at the whole world like the world is going like this. And you'd think after a certain point they'd understand, wait a minute, it's not changing, so it must be either God's a liar or something's wrong with me. Oh, the first glimmer of truth coming into their hearts. It's got to be you. It's got to be you. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some of these people think that just because they run around saying, I'm a Christian, and they can spout the word, or the written word, words off a page, that all the blessings of God are going to flow. And their spirit is more broken, and they're more heartbroken, and more hurt when it doesn't happen. It's because they don't have a knowledge. And what do you think's going to happen when that happens? What do you think's going to happen? Instead of the woman you gave me, it's, God, what's wrong with you? Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. If it was me, I'd be no different. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Oh, now we're getting down to the crux of it. I'm so smart, I know all this stuff, so I must be okay. I'm good. No. You're so far from where you need to be, it's incredible. My mama used to tell me when I was a child, there's none so blind as those who will not see. It's an act of choice. Make the right choices, folks. That's what we need to be telling these people. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but by the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry. I don't need anybody's help. I understand. I got the answer. Don't you know that I got the answer? Oh, that's not what I just read. Without counsel, the plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Verse 22, verse 23 now. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Word is truth. Amen? If he's the one who was in the beginning, he was and he is the word. And so when you speak truth, it is the word. Amen? And the word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Do you understand and see in those scriptures that God's not condemning the person, he's condemning the actions? He's putting judgment on the actions. Why? Because they don't even know who they're serving. They don't even know who they're serving. In verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who has grief or gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, doesn't just vomit all over somebody. And that's a pretty darn good example of Pharisees and Sadducees of the Bible times. Just spit out there, because don't you know I got the answers and I'm the leader, so I know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, moving right along. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. One who understands who he is, his need, his desperate need for the Lord. And that he's not arrived, no matter how far he goes or how long he lives, he has not arrived, and he'll never be devoid of the need for God. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. How blind and how devoid of wisdom do you have to be not to learn from your mistakes, but to put the blame on everybody else, including God. And yet you proclaim God. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Whoa. But he who heeds a rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Praise the Lord. I'm picking on Proverbs because I think it's time we got back to the wisdom that God put in that word. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6. Gene, if you want to get ready, that would be great. Ephesians chapter 6. Have any of you felt the excitement of going to one, not only who maybe doesn't know the Lord, but one who maybe has a knowledge of God, but they don't really understand, and seeing God all of a sudden turn the lights on, all of a sudden the lights turn on, and the joy that that brings? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's enough to just thrill your socks off. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in my knowledge, not in my wisdom, and all the things that I think I understand and that I have the abilities to do. Honey, you wouldn't have those abilities if God didn't give them to you. Stop taking the credit and let's give God glory because He deserves it. Amen? He doesn't share it with any man. And then verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual wickedness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then we managed to go on the rest of that chapter to put on the whole armor of God. See, you're not going to go in and convince somebody about the Word if you go in your own power and your own wisdom, your own understanding. It's going to take the Spirit of God, and it's going to take a yoke-breaking intervention of God to tear down that stronghold that's in their life. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to have to go in and touch them and reveal to them who He is, and He really means what He says. And what's been holding them back, and the reason they don't see these things in their life, is because they're not walking according to the Word. They're walking according to the wisdom and traditions of religion. And unfortunately, I'm sorry, a buck and a half, then that knowledge will buy you a cup, or at least half a cup of coffee anyway, maybe in this day and age. Proverbs 13, 9 through 16. We're going to close here in just a minute. I've just got a couple more. Proverbs 13, verses 9 through 16. Is this touching anybody? Is it helping anybody, or are you just going to sleep on me? Am I putting you to sleep? Proverbs 13, verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. By pride comes nothing but strife. By pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by dishonesty is diminished, will be diminished. But he who gathers by labor will increase. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, is a tree of life. When a person makes a statement like, that's just one more thing I'll never have. A person who understands the power and the authority in words when they're spoken, whether negative or positive. If they really know the Lord, they won't make that kind of a negative statement. There are some people who may never get married. That's okay. It's between them and God. God said it's not good for man to dwell alone. But if you start going out, and you continue to go out, and you start to get close to somebody, and all of a sudden the thing falls apart, you'd think that somehow you'd be smart enough to understand, maybe it's not them, maybe it's me. And that you're the one who's thwarting the blessing of God and your own desire. It's not wrong to have the desire, but you may be the one who's causing the obstacles that are sabotaging those relationships. How long are you going to want to be around somebody who comes to you and says, man, you know, gives the impression, they don't say it with their words, but their actions and their words give you the impression, I got all the answers, you can't teach me nothing, I don't need you, you need me. Oh, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Dear God, help us. Well, Wealth gained by dishonesty in verse 11 will be diminished, but he who gains by labor will increase. Hope deferred, okay, we did that. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn away one from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Just a few more. Keep your fingers in Proverbs. In fact, I'll just read them. You don't have to go there. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Verse 29 of chapter 14 of Proverbs. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Chapter 26, verse 11. We're going to close. I guess you could almost put a second title on this, A Call to Arms. You love people enough to be sick of seeing the devil take advantage of them, tear them down and destroy them. Love God enough to want to be the one who is the answer and who has the answer and who brings the answer. And if it's rejected, turn them over to God. You need to do that anyway. Chapter 26, verse 11. A dog returns to his own, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And in closing, 2 Timothy 3, 8 through 17. This is probably part of a well-known scripture to most of you. 2 Timothy 3, 8 through 17. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Do you understand when men resist you when you try to share the truth with them? They're not resisting you, they're resisting the Word. It's not personal. They are without understanding. And they're rejecting God and truth, not you. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning faith, but they will progress no further. They've gone to a certain point with God, but the rest of the blessings of God and the wisdom of God and the understanding of God and the promises, they'll never walk in until God supernaturally changes them by the Spirit of God. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. Their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and seen and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From childhood, that doesn't necessarily mean a physical childhood. It means a spiritual childhood too. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You and I hold the key. See, these people who are deceived and not walking in the truth, who just have the head knowledge, and those who don't even know, you and I are and we hold the key. And that's a life lived in faith and obedience to God. I am absolutely righteously angry against the people of God especially, but the world being taken advantage of by Satan. Yes, it's by their choice. That's why we need to make the right choices, is the title of this message. But we have an obligation as the Holy Spirit leads us and as He leads people across our path to tell them the truth. Remember we read, a soft answer turns away wrath. He tells us, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Love them enough to tell them the truth if it should cross your path, but also don't take it personally and get upset and enter into the same folly they have. What's wrong with that person? Don't they understand? Why can't they see what I'm telling them? Well, if you and I are telling them, we've already failed anyway. We failed them and we failed God. But if we listen to the words that come out of their mouth, and we consider the words that come out of our mouth and make sure they're God, do more listening than talking, then we're going to walk in the power, in that power and anointing that's been given to us. The power of the anointing, the power and the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and power. And we're going to be able to help people. And if we really believe the time is short, then now more than ever we need to be doing that. With everything in us, we need to be considering other people more than ourselves. The time is short. And to the best of my ability, with the help of God, and that's where it becomes effective, is with the help of God. But by my decision, with the best of my ability, I want to help people. I want to bless them. I want them to hear the truth, and I want to share Jesus with them. Amen. See, the reason we're in the soup that we're in is because people forgot about the Holy Ghost in power. They let it go for tickly ears and a pat on the back. You're so wonderful. God's wonderful. And if there's anything good in you, right, it's because of Him. Amen. We can't show people Jesus if we're in the way. It's time for us once and for all, because of the time, to get out of the way. And let the light of God and the love of God and the power of God shine through us and be bold in everything we do. Man, I'm telling you, there's things that I would be hesitant about that I'm not hesitant anymore. I'm not running from God, I'm running to Him. And if His Word says it, I'm going to act in it. I'm not responsible for the outcome, I'm responsible for the obedience. Amen? Amen? Is that right? Hallelujah. I love these people. God loves them unconditionally. Unconditionally. But he gave them a free will, and he gave you and I free will. And our responsibility, if we love the Lord, is to surrender that free will to him and only think what he tells us to think and speak what he tells us to speak. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good. He's called and chosen you to be his vessels. Are you up to it? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the first day of the rest of your life to go forth and walk in that anointing and power? No matter what. Even if all of a sudden, for some reason, that yellow streak tries to creep up your back and say, well, I don't know about this. And just do it in faith. Step out on the water and watch God do a miracle. Maybe in you, as much or more than them. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You don't have to acknowledge to me. It's between you and God. But if you want to come and get agreement that you'll walk as God wants you to walk, then we can agree together that we're going to do that from this day forward. Amen. You can agree with me and I'll agree with you. Whether you come forward or not, go to God. Tell him what your desire is. Tell him the commitment that you've made. Amen. And you'll see the fulfillment of the scripture that says, your eyes haven't seen, nor your ears heard, nor has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. But not only for you, but for those out there that he loves. Amen. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about God. About his kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Absolutely.
A couple of weeks ago, I was asked by one of the people here why I keep coming back. Obviously, we're trying to grow the congregation here. And at the time, it takes me a while to process and think of things. I didn't really have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I do now. It's because everyone here, it's not just Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we do on
Amen.
Sunday. It's our life.
Amen.
We live it. We breathe it. We believe it. It's part of who we all are.
Amen.
And I think that's what drew me here to begin with, because that's what I was searching for.
Amen.
It's blessing. Because of that, it's not just someone sitting up here preaching, you should. You live it every day of your life. It's who you are. It's who Karen is. It's who Bob is. It's all of that.
Amen. 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 You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And who the Lord has set free is what? Free indeed. Glory to God. Thank you for that testimony. And we appreciate you. We really do. And once again, all I can say is you're part of us. You're part of us. We need you. Amen. Are you blessed? Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
This silly old foolish man that stands up here hasn't chased you away.
Not yet.
God forbid. I'd rather leave the pulpit than ever have that happen. Don't want to go there. Not ever. I don't want to go there. I don't even want the perception. I hate even the perception that that could happen. And that's why I've made my choice. I'm surrendered to God. Ain't no other way. Ain't no other choice. Ain't gonna happen. See, there's too much at stake. If Father, I love you. Thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, that you're with us continually. You walk with us, you lead us, you guide us, you whisper in our ear, Lord. You direct us, correct us, and then you exhort us and comfort us and build us up in love. You illuminate our understanding. Lord, this morning, as a group corporately, Lord, we say we want to serve you because we love you. We want to be all that you have destined us and predestined us to be. And we want to be that tool that goes forth in boldness and confidence in you, Lord. Not in us, but in you, in your promises. And in the inheritance that you've given us, Lord. To be able to touch not only one another, but and none of those in this house, but outside this house, Lord, who are still seeking for the truth, even though they've heard of you and they have some head knowledge of you, Lord. We want them to know in spirit and in truth. We want them to understand that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to your mercy that you saved us all. And that your promises are not devoid, and that no one's excluded except by ignorance and by choice, Lord. We choose not to be there, but we choose to be the one who brings and gives the answer to those who are without hope. Even those who proclaim to know you and still are without hope, Lord. You love them. You have a plan for them. Your thoughts for them are for good and not for evil. Your thoughts for them are to prosper and not to harm, and to give them a hope and a future. To take that doubt, that unbelief, that dirty feeling, Lord, that feeling of inadequacy, that feeling of worthlessness, Lord, and give them worth in you. So, Lord, right now we thank you that your word by the Holy Spirit is sealed in all of our hearts, that Holy Spirit of promise. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is not devoid of power. It does what it's sent to do and it accomplishes what it's sent to do. And it doesn't return void. Thank you, Lord, for calling and choosing us to be those members of your body, of your kingdom, who will stand in this last day and do your will, even to our own hurt. I've made my declaration, Lord. I don't care what comes or what the attack is. I will not deny you, Lord, and you'll deliver me. But even if you don't, I will not turn, and I will not bend, and I will not bow to anyone or anything but you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that determination that can only come by a life and a heart changed by you and by your word, and by the experience of trusting you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray peace, joy, wisdom and understanding and insight, illumination in every heart, Lord, today. That's never been there before, more than they've ever experienced before. As we go out of here, let us go out with a determination. Once again, boldness and confidence, not in ourselves, but in you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, and we give you all the honor and glory. And Lord, we do anticipate your inevitable supernatural intervention in everything in our lives, every moment of every day, of every year, until you come again. We love you, Lord. Amen.